This episode is sponsored by Agent CRM. If you're in sales and tired of paying 3, 4, or 5 different companies for your email, CRM, funnels, phone, follow-up automation, check out Agent CRM. It's an all-in-one tool that combines all that you need to reach out, nurture, and close your clients. They've got weekly support calls so you can get up and running in no time. Get a free 14-day trial by going to the link below in the show notes. Hey, this is Dan Nguyen with the Intentional Entrepreneur Podcast. I have a very special guest with me today. Him and his wife over at Busy Bee Advisors specialize in working with solopreneurs, small businesses, and corporations. It was established in 2017, identifying the benefit to business owners of having a single resource for their accounting and tax services. Melissa and Eric formed a tax professional company, and Eric joined the company in 2020, and now they both living their passion, helping small businesses owners gain back financial clarity in their business. With more than 20 years of experience combined booking and tax, they have seen it all. I do want to welcome to the show Eric Broughton.
Hello. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you because as of this recording, we're just starting or maybe in the middle of tax season. So I know you're very busy, but I think what we're going to talk to you today is very important to our listeners. And so I do appreciate your time sharing your knowledge with us today.
Not a problem. And yes, you are correct. The gears are starting to turn for tax season. And of course, the IRS and the associated states or states involved for your business, of course, want to know how much you made and how much you may owe them, right? And so things are starting to fire up rather quickly. I know the past 3 years, I mean, me and you discussed this for a quick second, but mm-hmm. the past 3 years have been mm-hmm. a very somewhat chaotic time frame in regards to businesses, in regards mm-hmm. to taxes and everything that happened, COVID and stuff like that. And post-COVID has really been a very interesting development for businesses because some of them are, having to resolve issues in regards to PPP loans, or they've got mm-hmm. ERC, or they got the employee retention credits that they either received, they're in the process of getting received, or they just recently filed for them because some of those deadlines are starting to pass on being able to mm-hmm. access those funds, for businesses. And so it's been a very, very interesting time in the tax realm as myself and any other tax preparer, no matter what level that they're at, can attest to.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk about the new business startup checklist for bookkeeping and taxes. And I always have the thought and opinion that, hey, bookkeeping and tax, well, bookkeeping especially is like the something that every business needs to know, needs to understand. They can certainly hire the professional, but you as the business owner need to understand at least what your responsibilities are and not shoving a shoebox full of receipts to your bookkeeper on April 14th and expect magic to happen. And so before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts, can you share a little bit about your story and how you got into Busy Bee Advisors?
Yes, I was a numbers guy for a construction company. I was a superintendent, but I also did all of the bids for projects, managing the P&L for projects and stuff like that. And I would get involved with the in-house accounting agents that would then prepare documentation for, taxes and stuff like that. So I really start to learn, from a business operator's perspective on how taxes were involved. And as time came on or time to start to develop, I actually came to them with ideas on how we could reduce the business's tax liability for projects and stuff. And so it was kind of a different route of gaining my knowledge base versus, the traditional route of going to college and working for one of the big CPA firms and that kind of stuff. So it was a different route to come to where I am now as a strategist for small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and kind of working with my knowledge base that I've developed through the alternative route. And mm-hmm. my partner, who's also my wife, Melissa, she was a CFO and a comptroller for several different companies, working with them on a variety of things. in those capacities. And she wanted to start her own company and kind of be at first small and be able to have our own flexible schedule and stuff like that. Have me stop working 60 hour work weeks, 70 hour work weeks. So, you know, she started the business in 2017 and started showing a profitability in 2019. I left the company I was working for, and I joined up with her, and here we are today, with the freedom of being business owners and also very much aware of the major pitfalls, headaches, and successes that can come with owning your own business.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, still in business together in 2024, it hasn't ruined your personal relationship seeing her 24 hours a day, right?
You know what? You know, we work a lot, but it's not like we're working a traditional 9-to-5 job where we're clocking in at 9 o'clock and we're working until 5 p.m. and then we go home and make dinner and stuff. You know, I work my hours and then I go coach football, right? Mm-hmm. And during football season and stuff like that. So I have a lot of flexibility in regards to that. And then my wife, of course, we have, we still have a son at home, and she wants to make sure that she's available to do things with him and be a part of his life and stuff like that. So along with me, so we really maintain that flexibility that comes from owning our own business. But yes, tax season, of course, drives everybody a little mad around this household, because while she's working on company books for company clients, I'm also working on their taxes. So we're both very much busy right now during this time frame.
Yeah. So again, I do appreciate your time, especially this time of year. And today we're going to talk about the new business startup checklist for bookkeeping and taxes. So, you know, I'll let you take over and share your expertise.
Yeah. So the new business startup checklist was something that me and Melissa started working on because we got a lot of questions from people that had a great idea, or they had a home-based business and they didn't know where to go to from there. And we kind of started it off from, let's start from the beginning, right? The genesis. First off, you have a business idea, you have a business plan, you're starting to work with it. You're getting the wheels turning, so to speak. First thing I ask clients is regards to starting the business is, how are you funding it, right? Are you using personal savings? Are you getting an investment from someone? Is that a loan or is that a personal loan kind of a thing? Are you using a credit card to kick off the business? First, so let's find out your funding. And then you need to find out what business entity is going to work from you, either from the get-go or as time progresses. You know, at first you may be, I'm just going to do a sole proprietor, file on a Schedule C, and I'm going to wait until I meet an X threshold before moving up to a partnership with whoever I'm working with or a corporation, right? So you kind of want to plan that out. Maybe you want to be a corporation from the get-go. Any way you look at it, once you've decided your business entity path, you still need to go and open up a bank account and a savings account dedicated to just your business. There's a couple of different ways of going about that. You can either just open it up in under your social security number and your name and stuff like that. But you also could go through getting a EIN number from the IRS that then can be used as the company's social security number for these things as well, right? So once you got the accounts opened, then you need to make sure that if you're providing services or selling products, that you get your business license, right? You get your seller's permit, right? You make sure that you start collecting and setting aside your sales tax and stuff, right? So these are all building blocks that you need to have in place for the structure of your business so that if something happens, it doesn't come crashing, right? The wall is solid, right? You got all four walls, they're built, they're solid. You got a roof over your head, you got a good floor. Your structure is up and it is durable. So let's say then you go to hiring employees. How do you go about that? Selecting a payroll company, getting a state tax ID. These are all questions that you need to ask to fill in that are almost as important as the actual business plan itself, right? You got a business plan, you got an idea, you got a product, you want to sell it, you want to get it to market, you want to make money off of it. That's awesome. Let's keep in mind that while you're making money, there's going to be taxes owed on that. So how to go about protecting yourself and reducing your tax liability is just as important as actually getting the product out to market and making money, right? It makes no sense for you to sell $400,000 worth of product and have between taxes and expenses, then you only get to pocket $15,000. That was a lot of effort in selling your products and only being able to take home $15,000. So you want to make sure you have things in place to reduce costs, to reduce your liability so that your business is profitable. And maybe then you can stop working at your other job and have this be full time, right? And then you can continue pushing forward. One of the things that'll help with that is bookkeeping, right? Are you going to use an online or a desktop software? Are you going to use a spreadsheet? Right? Are you going to, are you as the business owner going to put in X amount of hours on a weekly or a monthly basis for your bookkeeping? Or are you going to outsource it? What's the value in outsourcing it? Right? Just remember, because you as a business owner, you only have a finite number of hours in a day to work on your business. Sometimes it's better to get a contractor to take over tasks for you so you can concentrate on making the money. If you're worth, if your business is worth $200 an hour, do you want to spend that working on your books or do you want to spend that working on your business? You're like, well, I want to save the money. But are you saving money, right? If you're worth, if you're billing $200 an hour for your service or your product, and you're spending 8 hours a month on your bookkeeping, then that's $1,600 in sales that you have left out of your business model or your of your revenue stream. In exchange, you could have paid someone $500. Still made that $1,600. So there's also a mindset of not holding on to every aspect of your business. Put it out to professionals. There's a reason why those professionals exist, because they're already operating for and doing business for other companies. Have them do business for you as well. And having financials up to date, having good bookkeeping, is worth its weight in gold when it comes time for taxes, but also when it comes for you, you as a business owner wanting to make fiscal, responsible business decisions. And I can't stress that enough, like responsible business decisions. You're like, I want to go buy a new truck for my business. That's fantastic from a standpoint of taxes. What a write-off, right? But is it going to put your company in a negative, an operating negative situation? Well, maybe that $125,000 truck is not a great idea. Maybe a $60,000 truck would be a better idea. But you can't make that decision unless you have good financials, right? And then there's all kinds of things that come from, you know, asset development in regards to taxes and stuff like that. The next thing that you want to decide is whether, you know, your business location. Home-based businesses, I love them, right? But I always recommend for home-based businesses that they don't put their home address on all of their stuff, right? I mean, let's be honest. Having your personal information and connection to your business can have some unforeseen consequences down the road, especially as your business grows. So home-based business, but you also have a physical mailing address that you maybe have offices at as well. That's always a good option. So I always kind of look for my clients in regards to business location of doing a balance between two, because there's also tax strategies between having a home base and also having an outside physical location. So great ideas there. The next thing you want to go down to is insurance. You got to protect yourself. You have to protect your business, and you have to protect the assets of your business. If you're an employee of your company, you need to have workman's comp. You want to have health insurance. You want to have professional liability insurance, product liability, asset protection, vehicle insurances, life insurance policies. These are all things that can be brought in for you owning your own business. You just have to decide, A, when the time is right. And on some of these, the time is right the day you start, right? Yeah, right. And for other things, it may be something down the road. Having health insurance, you may already have another means of health insurance. So having the company pay for it is probably not the best option for you in the immediate. But as your business grows and develops, starts generating more revenue, you want to take the business write-off for your own health insurance. You want to have that tax liability reduction from having your own health insurance. So then as time goes on, that becomes an excellent option. Life insurance policies. Companies offer life insurance policies to their employees all the time, and people take advantage of it. Sometimes it's a low $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, right? But what if your company paid for or provided to you a life insurance policy for you, right? And for your household, but you also have insurance policies for the business to protect it if something happens to you. That's important to talk about. And sometimes it's an uncomfortable topic of having insurance. And every life insurance person, agent that you talk to, they'll always say, yes, this is a difficult conversation, but for business owners, you need to be able to make tough decisions and have tough conversations, not only with the professionals that you're working with, but for professionals that you want to develop a relationship with and can do business with down the road. And that leads to then professional advisors. You want to have an attorney for a business. It could be just someone that you're friends with, right? It could be Dan, right? It could be someone that you're interacting with, yet right there, that's providing you with good advice for your business to make decisions. So you're going to want to have a good insurance guy. You're probably going to have, as your business develops, a good financial advisor that maybe the company pays for in regards to you as an employee, right? Commercial realtor. One of the big stepping stones for businesses that I work with is buying their own commercial space for their own production, for their inventory, for a retail space. They want to have a physical retail space. They got an online presence, and now they want a physical retail space, right? But having a good accountant / bookkeeper and tax preparer are kind of the thing. That's like the first thing that you really want to have in hand, because that person, whoever it is, whether it be Busy Bee Advisors or it be someone else, is going to provide you with excellent advice. But the old adage, you get what you pay for, definitely applies in that realm. If you get the guy that does their taxes and they got a cell phone that you can call them on, and he shows up and he's got all of the paperwork in the trunk of his car, and he does it with you sitting down at a table in your house, and then he gives you your stuff and you pay him and he gets in his car and he drives away. Maybe not the best person to do your taxes. You want someone that's established in the business, someone that's got a record. I mean, you've got Google, you've got DuckDuckGo, you've got means of researching who you want to do business with. Take advantage of it. And the same thing for all the other professional advisors. Now, Dan, on anything on this checklist, was there anything that you wanted to jump back to?
Yeah, no, I just wanted a couple of points. You beautifully illustrated, if your hourly rate is $200, it's kind of foolish not to hire someone at $100 an hour, $50 an hour to do the other thing that you shouldn't be doing. One exercise I actually went through with a friend of mine, fantastic business owner. He says, okay, what is the monthly, what's the yearly salary, or how much money do you want to make a year? Okay. So whatever that is, $500,000. All right. So break that down. Let's say you even work a 40-hour work week. What does that come down to? I think it's come down to like maybe $1,000 or $1,500 an hour, if my math is correctly.
You're right in the ballpark. Go ahead.
Yeah. So all right, so if that's, if you want to make $500,000 a year and it breaks down to $1,500 a year, why are you doing $50 an hour stuff?
Right.
Right.
Why are you the one that then is doing that when you're looking at wanting to make $500,000 and you only have about 2,000 working hours, you know, in a year, vacations included on that kind of a thing? You know, you want to find someone that you're going to be paying a portion of what you're billing, right? If you get a contractor, I look at this all the time. If I'm going to bill a client X amount of dollars, and I can sub that out to someone else to get the same end result product for $50, and I make some money off of it, that is fantastic. That is what business is. Don't be afraid to reach out and find out about things that you don't know about in regards to getting professionals to help you, getting contractors to help you. Don't be afraid of like in the state of California, we have AB5. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. You can still hire contractors. We just need to work out the logistics in regards to that specifically.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me, I'd rather make $50 doing nothing than $100 doing something. And that is something that kind of like, oh, I never really thought about that way. But it makes so much sense to me,
right?
You know, as he spoke it,
you get $100 an hour to put down tile. That's hard work. If you could pay someone $50 and you could still charge your client $100, that's some good passive income.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about businesses and developing your business is that you're not shoehorned into just doing this. You, as time goes on, when we first started, Melissa did the bookkeeping. Melissa did all the data entry. She collected the shoe boxes of receipts. She scanned them. She put them into Excel spreadsheets. She converted them over to QuickBooks. You know, she did a lot of things on her own. But as we grew and developed the business, an important aspect of it was for me and her to have a conversation of she needs to move from directing or from driving in the business traffic to directing it, direct our employees to generate us additional income, right? If we've got, you know, someone that we're billing $100 an hour and we can get it done for $35, that means $65 goes to our pocket. It goes to our operating costs. It covers our stuff. We may not make as much, but we freed up our time to then go make money in other areas. That's a really important business development concept. You may not be able to afford it right off the bat, but as soon as you're able to afford it, you then should be making the decision to change how you are operating within your own business.
You mentioned mindset and part of the checklist. And you also talking about how Melissa became essentially the director of employees. Can you share a little bit about the mindset that it takes to essentially delegate, right? For a lot of, especially if you are an entrepreneur, you believe that you're the only person that can do the job and do the deliverable.
Right.
Can you talk about the mindset shift that a business owner needs to start from order fulfiller to becoming a business owner?
It starts with having benchmarks. Having benchmarks within your goals, benchmarks within your own company structure. You say, hey, I got this going on. I am going to look at branching out as soon as I start generating $125,000 in gross sales, bringing on a commissioned salesman, bringing on support staff to free up your time to then do more sales. Put those benchmarks into play. You can talk with any good accountant can give you some benchmarks as to when you're going to want to expand into different areas, when you're going to want to get new additional employees, when you can afford to get additional employees, right? You know, if you're paying an employee $60,000, but that employee is not generating income for you, that's a loss of $60,000. But what if that employee that you paid $60,000 can work just as much as you on selling your product or generating a deliverable, and they make $125,000, while you are also making $125,000? You've made $250,000, and off the top, you spent $60,000 to generate that. Well, of course, you're going to have additional business costs and stuff like that, but you're going to have those anyways, whether it's just you or you plus one or you plus five. Now imagine you get five employees, each one of them costing you around $60,000 a year, but each one of them generates $150,000 in sales because they're collectively working together. You've got a greater media presence. You got more minds working on your business, pushing it forward, working with each other, incentivizing each other. So now you have five salespeople that are all making $150,000 for you. You can't continue to then be on the sales floor. You have to manage those five personalities. You know, every employee you should treat as if, and I know there's distinctive lines and stuff like that and legalities that you have to follow. But in truth, if you're a business owner and you hire an employee, that's taking on another personality, another set of problems, and another person's life into your orbit. And you need to be cognitive of that, and you need to be responsible, not only to the business, but also to the employee. So the mindset then changes. You've moved yourself off of the sales floor because now you have five people generating more income than you were generating by yourself. And you're managing that now. And you're putting out small fires. Because believe me, every business owner knows this. Dan, you know this. I know this. There's always a fire. There's always a client that is raising hell. There's always going to be a client that demands an immediate response from the manager, the owner, the supervisor, or the person that they used to do business with, most probably you. And you got to get involved. Well, if you're trying to sell other product over here and trying to manage your five staff members, you yourself are going to be the lowest generator for sales in your company at that point, because you're always going to be working on other people's stuff. So it's important. You got to start taking a step back. Then you take a step back. So then you've got 10 people working on the sales floor. One of them you promote up as the manager of the other nine, or you promote two of them and they're managing four each. And then you're only managing two. You're overseeing everyone, but you have two direct reports at that point, right? You're two managers. And your two managers, while they are still maybe involved in sales, remember back when you were one to five, you maybe were involved in some sales. Now the managers are in the same place. But then that opens up for you to increase how many people you have on your sales floor, because you have a management staff to back you up. You want to get to a point where you literally can be hands off of the business for a week. You could be available for emergencies by phone, but you're hands off for a week. You do some preliminary email checks. All the while, you're with your family and you're enjoying a much needed vacation to a tropical area of your choosing.
I think every entrepreneur should have the goal of taking a laptop-less vacation.
Right. You know, COVID kind of threw things for a twist, especially for tax preparers and stuff. But prior to that, once tax season was done, I literally would set my email notification to my clients. Hey, I'm not available. I'm on vacation. I'll be back on this day 2 weeks later. And that solid 2 weeks, my admin staff gets time off. My line staff gets time off. Me and the missus, we got time off, right? Post-COVID, we're going to get back to that. I want to have my 2 weeks of vacation time frame where pretty much the business kind of runs itself. My staff is available to take care of 90% of the things. And that 10%, it can wait until I get home. Right?
Yep. You mentioned having a team of professional advisors, ranging from obviously tax professionals, commercial real estate agents. I do, and we both kind of work in the same space, right? We are always one piece of this team of advisors. I wanted to share that, you know, even if you don't know one of the missing pieces, most likely one of your advisors does. And so it's good. I get requests all the time. Hey, do you have a CPA? Do you have a real estate agent? Do you have a family law attorney, unfortunately?
Do you have a criminal law?
criminal lawyer. Yeah. And then the next question, is there something you should be telling me? It's or still maybe it's not covered by attorney client privilege.
I'll get you the referral.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then it's pre-sale. No, it's for my friend. Okay. You know, all right.
Sure.
But yeah, I you know, lean on your team, right, to provide you with sources of referrals. You know, I think referrals are always at least my first stop, right? And I will supplement it with a Google or a DuckDuckGo search.
Yes. Yeah. Reach out to the, you may not think about it, but the professionals that you're working with, they're working in the same circles with other business owners as well. So they're going to know mm-hmm. other people that provide those services. Now, they may know them directly because they also mm-hmm. have a business relationship with them. They could know them on a professional level. They could know them on a personal level. You reach out to those around you that you've already developed a relationship with and that you trust to say, hey, do you know someone that does this? Do you know someone that does a good, mm-hmm. that does payroll? Do you know someone that does a commercial real estate? Do you know a personal financial advisor that can advise me on what's going on with my finances, with my business? Do you know a lender, hard money or traditional, right? I have clients mm-hmm. that come to me and say, Eric, I got an opportunity to expand my business by buying someone else's book. Awesome. Do you know someone that can give me a hard money loan for 90 days, $400,000? You know what I do. And as an accountant, as a tax preparer, as a bookkeeping company, we don't get involved in lending to our clients, but we put them in connection with people that we know and we've done business with before. You need mm-hmm, a hard money mm-hmm, loan for mm-hmm. a good business opportunity, buying someone's book of business, doing some asset development increases. You got some contracts that you need to have some things in place before those contracts come in. Otherwise, you won't be able to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I know a lender that can help you out.
Right? Especially one that won't break your kneecaps if you don't pay back.
Yeah, some of those hard money lenders you definitely want to stay away from. You know, let's find a hard money lender for short-term stuff like that. Or maybe we can find a credit union that's willing to interact with you on a local basis to provide you with a line of credit against your business mm-hmm. model, right? There's always mm-hmm. means mm-hmm. if you are willing to reach out and have a conversation with those that are around you. Mm-hmm. You're going to bring people into your orbit that are going to, A, they want to make money with you. Watch out for the people mm-hmm. that want to make money off of you. But work with the people that want to make money with you. I want to make money with my clients. As an accountant, I want my client to be as successful as possible because I want a larger retainer. I want mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. to have a quarterly meeting with me. I want you to pay mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. to be able to do this for you as your business develops. I want us to going from having a $1,000 tax preparation contract to having a $30,000 annual advisor, tax preparation, mm-hmm. bookkeeping services. I want that with my clients. So mm-hmm. I'm going to help anybody and everybody grow and develop as much as possible. And those are the type of professionals and professional advisors that you want to have working with you. If someone's not responsive to you and they don't have a good reason, like maybe they had a leak on the floor above them in their business office, right? Or maybe they had a personal emergency, right? Mm-hmm. That's a legitimate reason to continue to working with them. But if they didn't get back to you in 3 weeks, just because for whatever, maybe they don't value you as much, but there's always other people out there that are going to value you. Yeah, but Busy Bee Advisors, you can reach out to us, busybeeadvisors.com. You can go to ineedbookkeeping.com. You can reach out to us. If we can't specifically help you, we know people that can. Right? Dan, you're an excellent resource when it comes to things in the legal realm. Right? But if someone came to you and said, hey, I need a financial advisor to help me with my retirement accounts, you're like, not something I do, but I know Joe, and Joe's awesome. Same thing here. Reach out to people in your orbit that are going to help you and want to push your business to be successful. On an ending note, I had a client that I started working with 7 years ago before I actually started doing this myself full time. And I helped them structure their business, develop their business, and grow their business. They went from sales at $50,000. So now they're at sales over $5.8 million. It's a huge amount of success. And all through it, we have had a business relationship that has turned personal over the past 7 years, right? And if I actually need to find someone, I trust him, not only as a client, but also as a friend, to give me a name of someone to help me. And he, in return, does the same thing. So develop those professional relationships and don't be afraid to grow them and develop them. As a tax strategy, I am first and foremost saying to my clients, have parties. Have business parties. Right. Have them often and enjoy yourself, right? Have the business pay for it. Get the venue, get the food, get the the drinks, whatever you're comfortable with. Invite your clients, invite your staff, invite their families, have a great time. And then talk to your accountant, your bookkeeper, your tax preparer. How did I make sure that this was a business deduction?
Yeah.
Excellent question. Yeah. And then you go from there, right? Maybe ask those questions before you have a $5,000 party, but you understand where I'm coming from on this.
If someone Maybe for the listeners who don't have a tax professional yet, right? And they're kind of going through the list of referrals. What are some essential questions they should be asking that tax preparer before hiring them?
First question I would ask of your tax preparer is, how often are we going to meet? I know that I have a list of five essential questions, and I could get into that it definitely down the road with you or with anybody else. But the first question I would ask them is, how often do you meet with them? If you meet with your tax person once a year, then they're probably not doing you any favors. Mm. Right. And if you ask a question, hey, how do I reduce my tax liability? And the answer is buy something, then they're not necessarily helping you. I'm not saying that it's not good advice. I'm saying that they really should have something more than that, right? Mm-hmm. You are a new business. You're developing and you're growing. Now you have five employees. Well, instead of increasing all of their salaries, how about we do something else to increase money that you pay to them that doesn't have a tax liability associated with it? Why pay another $5,000 to them on an annual basis that then you have to pay taxes on and they have to pay taxes on? Let's find out something else. There are other routes that they can be helping you with. And they are all, and as long as your tax person is up to date on what's going on at the federal level in regards to Congress or the state level in regards to Congress, there could have been something that was released 3 months ago that had been like, hey, this is a really good means of doing some not high dollar tax credits, but tax credits are always worth about a 5-to-1 ratio, right? You spend $100 as a business expense, that's $100 off. But if you get $100 in tax credits, that's the equivalent of $500 plus or minus of business. right? Mm-hmm. So it's upwards of a 5-to-1 ratio. So if they don't have an idea for tax credits, or if they don't have an idea for employee retention strategies, if they don't have ideas on how you can increase or decrease your tax liability and increase your income from the business, then maybe you should be reaching out and having other conversations, like going to busybeeadvisors.com, scheduling an appointment, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't meet with them more than once a year, that's something serious to look at. If the answer to how do I reduce my taxes and the answer is buy, also not a great one. There are other things that you may need to, but those are my top two.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, these questions probably can have its own podcast episode, and we can spend, you know, upwards to an hour or more just talking about it. Yeah. 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 We've got a little bit of time left. The last topic I want to ask you about is this $12,000 tax loophole that I'm dying to know about.
You know what? That is easily a 40-minute episode in of itself. But the down and dirty is that if you're a business owner, but you also own your property, you could then have the business pay you to use that property on a rental basis. And it could be up to $12,000 or more a year. And it's becomes a non-taxable situation. So you could legitimately move an easy $12,000 from your business from the business account to your account. Follow the rules, and it's a non-taxable situation.
I look forward to another podcast episode just on that.
I would love to dig into that with you. The $12,000 amount, you know, when people hear that, they say, well, what is that? Hiring your kids? Is that, you know, a business rental of your personal property, something like that? I said, you know what? I'm just going to leave it at the $12,000 mark. You can ask your questions, and then that lets me know how much you know. And then we can go from there, right? Because I dislike spending my time telling people about things that they already have an idea about. I like to give them things that make them go, wait, what? I can do what with my business? And then that's when I really go, okay, now we're on to something. And then we get
to all right. It. Yeah. Hey, we're here with Eric Broughton from Busy Bee Advisors. Are there some party thoughts that you want to share to our listeners about the startup checklist for new entrepreneurs?
Don't be afraid to reach out and find out what you don't know. Go to busybeeadvisors.com. Schedule a 15-minute or a 30-minute conversation with me. I won't charge you. I am such a nerd when it comes to just talking about this stuff, because it energizes me and it pushes me to continue to develop my own business. But I also, I'll be honest, I would say about 8 times out of 10, I get a client out of the conversation, just because my energy and my fire and my passion for what I do is going to bleed over and help you. Because if I can alleviate some of the things for a client, if I can take some of the weight off of their shoulders, then we've got the start of a fantastic business relationship.
Yep. Thanks again. Hey, we are kind of at the end, but I have a rapid fire question and answer session for entrepreneurs. Just answer the first thing that pops in your head. Are you ready? All right. Who do you look up to?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. What's the best business advice you've ever received?
Don't be afraid to ask a question.
What's your favorite business book?
You know what? Art of the Deal. I have to fall back on. I don't care what people's political views are from a business aspect. I read that book when it came out a long time ago, and a lot of the concepts have stuck with me since then.
If you could do one thing over again, what would it be?
I would have moved into this career a lot earlier. I mean, I loved building homes and building businesses for other people, but I wish I would have been exposed to this a lot earlier and maybe got into it 20 some odd years ago. Cause then maybe I have myself and then I have 40 people working for me.
Are you familiar with the term 3 feet from gold?
I am. It's that last part. You're almost there. You just got to get those last 36 inches and then success can be realized.
So my question is, how do you know when you just might be 3 feet from gold? Or how do you know when to pivot in your business?
Your gut and what your advisors are telling you. If you're almost there and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you just got to push on and push forward and have faith, not only in your business, but in yourself. Mm-hmm. You can get that last 36 inches.
You lose everything in your business. The only thing you have is your cell phone, laptop, and an internet connection. How do you rebuild your business in 30 days?
Start making calls. Set up a new website. get a new calendar set up. You know, get right back out there. Just because a business failed doesn't mean that the business is not going to be successful going forward. Mm-hmm. It just may not need to have a new name. It may need to have a new brand. And you may need to trust or work with and develop trust with different people.
What's the biggest challenge in your business today?
Staff. And I'll just leave it at that.
In case they may be listening. Last question is, what's the best thing you've spent $100 or less on that has greatly improved your personal life or your business life?
$100 or less. Wireless phone chargers around my house. My battery is always dying because I'm always on it. I'm always doing video calls and I'm talking with clients and stuff like that. I'm driving down the road and I'm having meetings with staff or with clients and stuff like that. Phone's always low on juice. It seems like everybody in my house always is low on juice on their phone. I got less than 20%. I've got like 10 or 15 wireless charging pads throughout the house. You can put your tablet on it. You can put your phone on it. You can put your buds on it, you know, whatever you got, and step away for 10 minutes and come back and you got it. So I guess for that, that would be one. That's probably an odd answer that you've received on that one.
No, I got basketball hoop one time. So, you know, not that really.
They're sitting in their office and they're shooting some hoops.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about their next business deal.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, Eric Broughton with Busy Bee Advisors. I will put your link to the website in the show notes. And any of our listeners, I highly encourage you to reach out to Eric and just spend a little bit of time with him, see if you can help your business. And Eric, thanks again for hanging out with us. It was really fun.
It was really fun talking to you, Dan. And thank you so much. BusyBeeAdvisors.com or IneedBookkeeping.com.
All right. Let's talk again soon.
All right. Cheers.